Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Beis. We begin at the very top at the Mishnah. Yetz Hashem, we're going to finish off Perek Hazorik and start the 12th Perek. Perek Abona. Today we're learning the shiur Le'ilui Nishmas, David Rabinovitz, David B'Reb Shlomo Halevi. All the Nishmas we learn for Shevet Aliyah. So we begin the Mishnah at the very top of the Yomid. The Mishnah says, Hazorik, if a person throws something. Now, Farshim say that he's throwing b'shogeg, obviously, and he's either throwing from Rosh HaYochid into the Rosh HaRabin. The same thing would apply if he was throwing Dalet Amos into the Rosh HaRabin. So here we're talking about where he's throwing something, v'niskar, and he remembers, me'achar she'yotzus obiyado, he remembers after the object has left his hand that it's Shabbos. So when he threw it originally, his Akira and his Zerika are done b'shogeg, but when he has the object that he's throwing in mid-flight, he realizes that it was Shabbos and he wasn't allowed to throw it. So me'achar she'yotzus obiyado, either kolto acher, somebody else caught it. Now, if he threw it to a person, so that person who's standing still is considered as it's the person who's throwing its hanocha, not the person who's catching its hanocha, unless that person has to move to go and get it, or if it wasn't expected. So I throw the ball, and I didn't see somebody there, and he goes and grabs it, then that person who grabs it is doing the hanocha. Otherwise, if I'm throwing it to him, if Reuven's throwing to Shimon, so Reuven does the throwing, even though Shimon catches it, Shimon is the one who's doing nothing in that situation. Reuven is doing the hanacha as well, because Shimon is where he designated and wanted it to land, so therefore Shimon is not considered doing the hanacha. Reuven is considered doing the hanacha. This will become clearer in the Gemara. So here, somebody else, kolta acher, somebody else went and caught it. Or kolta kalev, a dog came and caught it. Again, if he had thrown it to the dog, that would be different. But here the dog came and jumped and caught the ball, let's say. Oh, shenisufo, he threw it into a fire. He wasn't expecting to throw it into the fire. It landed into a fire, and the fire is not considered a significant landing. Rashi points out all of these situations over here, it's not considered a significant landing, because you need to have a space that's dalet amos by dalet amos, and therefore these are all considered not to be a valid hanocha. As Rashi says, the lo havi hanocha, the ba'inun mokum dalid, you need to have four tvachim by four tvachim, and therefore, in all of these situations, the person throwing it will be potter from bringing a chattas. Gemara is going to have a lot of discussions about this, so I just gave you really somewhat the maskana of the Gemara. We'll get to the discussion of this momentarily. Now, next situation. Zorak lasos chabur. Here has nothing to do with carrying anymore. Not hotzoa achnosa question, or maver dalamish was a sarabim. He's talking about throwing something. You're talking about you're throwing it in a rishus hayachid. So there's no carrying problem. But he's throwing it lasos chabura. He wants to throw something at somebody to do a chabura. Don't ask me why, but that's what he's doing. Now, this is true. Whether he's throwing it bein be'odom u bein behemos, whether he's throwing the object to make the chabura, to make a wound on somebody, on a person or on an animal. Either way, when he throws it, he doesn't realize he's not allowed to do that. The niskar, he now realizes it's Shabbos when it's also to make a chabura. Forget the benodim l'chaveira, how you're not making a chabura on a person. Like he's doing this to help the person in some way by making this chabura. He's doing an injection on him or something like that. So the niskar, ashalonas is chabura. And when he's throwing this item to make the chabura, he didn't realize that it was Shabbos. But now he remembers. In the middle of the act, somehow, he realizes that it's Shabbos, and he's not allowed to make a chabura. So in this situation also, it's potter. He's not going to be chayav achatas. Why is this? So the Mishnah says zaklau. Now, whenever we have zaklau, mentioned many times, it's going to come to include an additional thing. The moral tells us what's coming to include. But zaklau, this is the rule that we're dealing with. Kol chayav achatas. In order to be chayav achatas on Shabbos, you're doing something wrong, unintentionally. Einan chayavim, you're only going to be chayav ad shtei tchiloson v'sofa shkoga. It has to be the initial part of the act, the end part of the act has to be all under the same helim, under the same shkoga, under the same forgetfulness that it's Shabbos. If, however, tchiloson shkoga, the beginning act was by mistake or unintentional, you didn't realize it was Shabbos, but v'sofa zodim, but by the end of the act, before the end of the act, you knew that it was Shabbos, or vice versa. Tchiloson zodim, the beginning, you knew that it was Shabbos, however, v'sofa shkoga, but you forgot somehow there was Shabbos. Whatever the case may be, in these situations, you are peturin. You're not going to be chayev a karbon chatos, unless achei tchiloson v'sofa shkoga, until the beginning and the end of the act are all done with helim of Shabbos, knowing that it was shogeg and not that it was mazid. Gemara starts off and says, the implication being at the beginning of the Mishnah was, ha-nocha chayev, that when the person is throwing something and then the niskar me'achas shiyotsu miyado, so he said it's only potter. It seems to say that it's only potter because somebody else grabbed it, or the dog grabbed it, or the fire burnt it. So hanocha, the implication would be in our Mishnah that if it in fact landed, so then you would be chayev. But v'halo niskar, but you remembered before it landed, and our Mishnah said zaklal utanan kol chayav echatos. The only time you chayav echatos en chayav achte tilosan v'sofu shkaga. And here your beginning was b'shogi, but your end before it landed, you knew that it was Shabbos. So the end is b'mezid. So our Mishnah seems to contradict itself. It implies at the beginning that ihad nocha chayav, but at the end it says that no, if you remembered before it landed, then you would be potter. So we'll give several tirutz. Omer Rav Kana. Rav Kana says, Sefer, the end over here is telling us, Ason l'lachta u'misna. The Sefer is talking about a lachta and a misna. What does that mean? So this lachta and misna, that which we said over here, you need to have the tchila and the sofa and all b'shkaga, is talking about something where you could retract it. You have the ability to retract it. And that's dealing with a lachta. Rashi says over here, Dira Masel, Ason l'lachta u'misna, that a lachta is an eitz katan, it's a small piece of wood, shekofu rosho. It's a two-headed type of a stick. In other words, you have a piece of the stick, and then it branches off into two heads. So this was used, actually, in holding on packages onto a donkey. They would insert this lachta somehow into some sort of insert on the saddle of the donkey, and then they would attach packages to one side of the stick, and as well they would attach other packages to the other side of the stick to balance the packages on the donkey. They would carry, let's say, wine in barrels or something like that, so they'd have to put a balance. If they had all the wine on one side, the donkey would be unsteady. So they put another barrel on the other side, and they would attach it through this lachta, and it would have a misna, it would have a string attached to it, a rope attached to it as well. So you know what we're talking about, Rav Kahana says? When we said that you're going to be potter at the end of the Mishnah, it's talking about in the Sefer at the end of the Mishnah where you have the ability to retract. So you must have over there trilason shkaga and sofon shkaga. And when you're throwing with this lachta misna, so you're holding on to the rope still. You're throwing this lachta, but you're holding on to the rope, so you could pull it back at any moment. Therefore, it's not considered in the Sefer case that it's an act of shkaga, because you have the ability to pull it back because you're still holding on to the misna, to the rope, and you threw the lachta, so it went originally b'shogei, but then you remember, so pull it back, but you didn't pull it back. That's why the end is called a act of mezid, and therefore you're potter. That's how Rav Kahana understands our Mishnah. Gemara doesn't like this answer. Gemara says, lachta misna ogdo b'yadahu. So, of course you're not chayev. You're still holding on to it. That's not a case, really, of zrika. You're still holding on to it. Ogdo b'yadahu. So, of course you're not going to be chayev in that case. Someone says, you're right, kagon, we're talking here not in the case of throwing it dalet amos v'shus harabim, or from v'shus yochim to v'shus harabim, kagon sh'niskavin lasus chabura. We're talking about the case you're intending to make a chabura, niskavin lasus chabura, and therefore, even though you're holding on to it, you do have the ability to pull it back. It's not a carrying case, so the fact that you're holding on to it makes no difference, and therefore, since you have the ability to pull it back, and you didn't pull it back, so therefore, you're not going to be considered chayev achatos. That's what the Sefer is talking about. Gemara says also, Honami Tanina, but we learned that already. That was the second case of the Mishnah. Why would you repeat it in the Sefer of the Mishnah? It said, Hazorik Lasus Chabura, Ben Biyad Be Beheba. If you're throwing something, whether it's against an animal or a person, to make a Chabura, the Nizkara Shalonasis Chabura, and you remember before you made the Chabura, so Potter. So the second case of the Mishnah tells us that. How can the Sefer of the Mishnah be telling us the same thing? So we don't like Rav Kahana's Teretz. So the Gemara says, El Omar Rava, Rava says, Bimavir. We are talking here in the Mishnah about a person who's Maver Dalet Amos Vishu Sarabim. And since he's walking, so therefore, at any point, he could stop. The fact that he continues walking, that's Niskar, and that's why he's part of a Machatas, because he could have stopped. Where it says, but that doesn't fit with the language. For her, it said, Zaklal, when it said at the end of the Mishnah, Zaklal, Diktoni, Azrika Ktoni, it's going on the Zrika. So how can you tell me that it's talking about a person walking? As Rashi says, the Iril Elmine Bizorik Lasus Chabur. It's talking about Zorik, talking about Zorik. And therefore, there seems to be a contradiction again. Same question as at the beginning. Originally, you're saying it would imply Imnocha that you would be, in fact, Chayav, because it said only if it was grabbed by a person or the dog or the fire that you're not Chayav, implying that you would be Chayav if you threw it. And in the Sefer, it says that you're Potter. So again, we're stuck. Elam Rav. Rav explains tactic tani. We have to read it the following way. This is the way to read the Mishnah. Hazorek, if a person throws something, v'nizkar me'achas shiyotsu miyodo, while it's in the air, you remember that it's Shabbos. So this is the situation. Hazorik v'niska mi'achas she'otzu mi'yado. So the Gemara says, in that situation, you would be potter. Or, alternatively, inami lo niskar. You didn't remember that it's Shabbos. So this is, if it landed on its own, you would be chayiv. And now, a separate situation. Inami lo niskar u'kiloto acher. Somebody else went and caught it. Or okolto chayolav oshin isrefo. Or a dog grabbed it, or you threw it into a area and it landed in the fire, and that's not Dalet Amos. In all of these situations, you would be potter. Again, there's a separation in the Reisha. Hazorik v'niskar. So in that situation, if you remembered me'achas she'yotzu yado, you would be potter because you had a knowledge at this point in time it hasn't landed. So in this situation, v'nocha, you would in fact be potter. Hanocha, not chayiv, hanocha, you'd be potter. Likewise, if somebody else grabbed it, even though you still didn't remember Shabbos, you also would be potter. That's the way Rava understands the Mishnah. Now it all makes sense, and there's no contradictions. Rav Ashi is a different teretz. Rav Ashi amar, chisuri mechzor ha'chitoni. There are words missing from the Mishnah, and this is how you have to read the Mishnah. Hazorek, if somebody throws something, v'ninskar me'ach shos mi'odo, and he remembers midstream, while the object is still in the air, that it's Shabbos, or kilto acher, or somebody else grabbed it, o kolto chelav, or the dog grabbed it, o nisufo, or you didn't intend to throw it into that fire, and that's not considered a mokum choshev, as Rashi said, it doesn't have four tvachim by four tvachim. In all of these situations, you'd be potter. But the implication is, hanocha chayev. But if it landed, you would be chayev. Now that's a contradiction. So, b'medvar mamurim shechaza v'shochach. The only time you chayev, it was nocha, is if you forgot again. So you remembered midstream while it's flying, but somehow you forgot before it landed. So here you'd have at the beginning, no knowledge that it's Shabbos. At the end, no knowledge that it's Shabbos. And in that situation, you would in fact be chayev, achatos. Avalo chazar v'shochach, but if you didn't remember and you forgot that it was Shabbos, so then it was nocha, you would in fact be potter. Because in this situation, you need to have both the beginning and the end, v'shogeg. So Rav Ashi over here again understands this a little bit differently than Rava did. Rav Ashi says in our situation in the Mishnah, if the person was chazar v'nishkach, then he would be chayiv. Only in that situation would be chayiv for nocha. Shechazar v'shochach. Okay? He didn't remember that it was Shabbos after he remembered that it was Shabbos. Again, a little bit of a strange scenario, but that's the way Rav Ashi has to learn the Mishnah. But avalo chazar v'shochach, then he would be potter because you need to have the entire Akira and Hanocha with a Shogeg on Shabbos. Now we go to the last part of the Mishnah, where it says Zaklal. We said Kochay v'chatos v'chulei. So it always comes to teach us when that's Zaklal, an additional case. So the Gemara says, Itmar. What about the following scenario? Shtei Amos v'shogeg. A person is carrying something in the Rishus HaRab, let's say Dalet Amos, and he walks the first two Amos, but he's carrying it, he doesn't realize it's Shabbos. And then he realizes it's Shabbos, Shtei Amos, the Mezit, the next two, he realizes it's Shabbos, he's carrying it anyway. And then, Shtei Amos b'shogeg. And then he walks the last two Amos without realizing it's Shabbos. Again, I don't exactly know what the case is that we're talking about over here, how a person would know this and not know this. That's what happened. So Rabba Amar Potter. Rabba says in this situation, you would be Potter. The person is not going to be Chayv Achatos because there was the intervening two Amos that he was b'mezit that ruin it and make it not one continuous act. And Rava Omar Chayiv. Rava says, in fact, he would be Chayiv in this situation. Why? What is going on over here? So, Rabba Omar Potter, Rabba tells us that your Potter, even according to the opinion, Afilu Rabba Gamliel, now this is a machlokes we have between Rabba Gamliel and the Chachamim, which deals with a person writing a letter on Shabbos. We had this previously on Daf Ayin Aleph, and we're going to have it again in Mitzvah coming up in this week's Shurim on Daf Kuf Hei. So, Rabbi Gamliel says that if a person writes the shin and the men of the name of Shimon, he wrote the shin forgetting that it's Shabbos. Then he knows that it's Shabbos, but then he forgets that it's Shabbos and he writes the mem. So in this situation, Rabbi Gamliel says that this concept, the Omar, Ein Yedil L'chatzi Shir, that you're knowing in between that it was Shabbos, but it was only for half the Shir, that doesn't allow the Shurim not to still be combined together. And the original writing of the Shin and your final writing of the Mem are both Bishogi, even though there was a Yediyah in between, Ein Yediyah L'chatzi Shir. That's from Gamliel. So in that situation, you say, Yechai V'chatas. So Rabba is telling us over here that your Potter, in our situation where you had the Dalet Amos Bishogi, Dalet Amos B'mezid, then Dalet Amos Bishogi, that's like a half a Shir. So one would have thought Rabbi Gamliel would say that you still would be Chai V'chatas. He says, even according to Rabbi Gamliel, who says, Ein Yediyah L'chatzi Shir, nevertheless, he only said that by the writing. pasuk who dechi called gomar shiura b'shogeg gomar, because when he wrote the first shin, that's half the shir. Then he remembered it was Shabbos, but then he forgot it was Shabbos, and he wrote the second shir. So the second mem, when he writes the mem, the second letter, so that completes the action. Until then, he hadn't completed the action. So therefore, the chol ki gomar shiura b'shogeg kogomar. When he finishes it, it was still all b'shogeg. He did the entire shir b'shogeg. But in our case of walking, when the person walks shtei amos b'shogeg, then shtei amos b'mezid, that completed the shir. He walked dalet amos. Halacha, the b'mezid, lo, he didn't complete the shir. He walked the dalet amos, the first two b'shogeg, and the second two b'mezid. That completed the shir, but it wasn't all b'shogeg. Therefore, he would not be chayav achatas. Aye, then he walks two more b'shogeg, it's a new start. It's something else. Therefore, aval hocha the b'mezid, lo, he didn't complete the shir b'mezid. That's what Rabbi says, and he says, even Rabbi Gamliel would agree with me. What are we talking about? Ubimai. What exactly is the situation? Ibizorik, you were talking about throwing, so then shogeku. So you can't say that he's b'mezid. The ball is in the air. The item is in the air. So if he was throwing it, you can't tell me that he had the ability to retract it. Like we just said, if it lands, so onocha, he would be chayiv. So what are we talking about? Can't be bizarre. Someone says, ibizorik, shogeku. Then he would really be a shoge. Ella, we're talking about b'mavir dalet amos v'shus harabim. We're talking about a person who's carrying it dalet amos and v'shus harabim. He does have the ability to stop in between. So that's why even Rav Gamliel would say that in this situation, you would be potter. That's Rabba's opinion. Now, the Gemara had the gears here that just doesn't make any sense. It then says, Rabba amar chayiv. Now, that's obviously not Rabba. And on the side, it says, this should be Rabba. We made a mistake. We're going to have a moment later, we're going to have a mistake again where we say it's Rabba, and it should be Rabba there as well. So the printers made some mistakes over here. In any event, this should be Rava Omar. Rava says, in fact, Chayiv. You'd be Chayiv over here. And he says, even according to the Chachamim, Bavilu the Rabbanim that said in the case of the Shin and the Mem, where he had the idea in between, but he wrote the Shin and the Mem Bishogeg, Bavilu Rabbanim the Amri Yeshidiyo L'chatzi Shir. They say, no, that's enough to make it two separate Helims. And therefore, your first writing the Shin wasn't a significant Shir. You only wrote one letter. Your second writing of the letter Mem, that wasn't a significant Shir, is only one letter. You need two letters to be over the shir, and you had a yedi in between. So even though it's a yedi of a chatzi shir, the Chachamim say, no, that exempts you from achatas. So even according to the Rabbanan, who say that you'll be exempt from achatas in the case of the shin and the mem, so Rava says they would also hold over here that you're chayiv. Hasu hu to be yodo there, it was in your ability not to write the second letter. So therefore, you had the power to not write the second letter. And therefore, that's why there they say that you're potter. Here, you didn't have the ability to stop it, so what are we talking about? Ubimai, if you're talking about dalet amos, you did have the ability to walk if you're carrying it dalet amos, so stop. So you did have the ability to stop. It's in your hand. Ella, according to Rava, the case is bizarric, where you didn't have the ability to stop it. So that's exactly why the Chacham would say, you're there in the writing, you had the ability to stop it. Here, you didn't have the ability to stop it. This is the machlokus between Rabba and Rava. Now again, our gears is now incorrect as we go further. It says Amar Rabba, and this on the side, it says it should be Rava as well. Zorak the nocha befi hakelev. If you threw something and it landed in the mouth of the kelev. Now, we use the lashon over here of the nocha. Tosos and Dibra Maskus, Amar Rava, Zorak befi hakelev, says lo garsinon the nocha. We don't say that it landed there. Lo garsinon the nocha befi hakelev. Why? Because if you say the nocha, it implies mashma me'atzma, by itself. Because the person is standing there. And therefore, nocha implies that you're doing it, as opposed to if the dog jumped and caught it. So we shouldn't be going with the word nocha over here. So Omar Rava, we change that gears around, and we should say Zorak b'fiyah kelev. If you threw it intentionally into the kelev's mouth, or b'fiyah kivshon, or if you threw it intentionally into the piyah kivshon, you made those significant, and therefore chayev. Then you would be chayev. V'anantan, but we learned kolta acher o kolta kelev o shenisufo potter. But that seems this statement of Rava goes against our Mishnah. So the Gemara says Hosam delo makabe. In the case of our Mishnah, the person didn't intend to have it land in the dog's mouth or in the fire, and it just happened to end up dog grabbing it, or it landed in the fire. He didn't realize there was a fire there, and it wasn't a significant landing spot. But here, in Rava's statement, he intended to throw it over there. And even though the dog's mouth isn't Dalet Amos, the fire isn't considered a Mokum Choshev of Dalet Amos, since he intended to throw it over there, it is considered that is a makom choshev. And that's why Zorak specifically, Befiyah Kelev, if he intended to throw it into the dog's mouth, that's why we leave out the word Vinocha, or into the Piyah Kivshon, he makes them significant by his intention. Gemara says, Omar Rabibi Barabaye, Afanan Namitina. I have Tanoic support to this statement of Rava. What is that? Yesh Ochel Achila Achas. We have the following case where a person can eat something, a kizayis of an item that is also to eat, and a person could do this v'chayv ala arba chatos yoshem echad, and b'chayv with a single act of eating one kizayis, he can be over four chatos and one osham. What's the case? So hatomeh, if a person is tomeh, and sha'ochal chaylev, he eats chaylev. Now, eating chaylev is the first of the surm over here. He's doing this all by accident, so he's chayv achatos. He doesn't realize it's chaylev. So eating chaylev, you chayv number one. Who knows, sir? It was from a carbon, and the carbon was beyond its time. And if you eat a nosar, a kizayis of nosar, a carbon that's beyond its time, you're also chayv achatos. You're not allowed to do that. Now, it was min hamukdashim, so it was hektishes. So he's tomei, and therefore he's going to be chayv as a tomei person eating hektish. He's going to be chayv another chatos. And in addition, he's taking it from hektish, so he's going to be chayv at asham mi'ila. That's the third chatos and one asham, and it was biyom kippurim. So he's chayv another chatos for eating on Yom Kippur. So this person is over, according to the Tanakhama, four chatos and one asham mi'ila. Remei disagrees. Remei says, in addition to those five, the four chatos and one asham, he says, af im hoysa Shabbos votzio befiv, if he was doing this and walking on Shabbos, dalet amos in shusha rabim, where he went from shusha yochin to shusha rabim, while he's eating this kizayis of the food, he'll be chayiv as well for that, for carrying on Shabbos. Now, Rashi points out that there is no din of carrying on Yontif. Tosus disagrees with that and says, there is a din, an isser, of carrying on Yom Kippur. And he says that it was just an addition over here. He wanted to make an additional chatas over here, af mishum Shabbos v'yom HaKippurim. That's the way Tosus understands it. In any event, Ramey adds on another isser of carrying. He'd be chayva a fifth chatas over here for carrying, and of course the Asham Me'ila. And the Chachamim responded, and he said, Amru lo, they said to him, no, Enum and Hashem. That's not the same thing. Here we're talking about eating, and you're talking about carrying, so that's why we didn't include it. No, what's the bottom line? Vamai, why would he be chayv for carrying in his mouth? Ha'ein derech ho'tzobekat, that's not a normal way of carrying, and therefore he should be potter of a lawsuit, not chayv achatos. Someone says, Elo kivon dekol mekaven, since he's intending to put it in his mouth to eat, he makes it machshavto mishavile mokom choshev. His machshavah makes it into a place, it makes it into a mokom choshev. Ah, ho'chanami, just like you can make your mouth into a place that's significant, even though it's not dalet, by Dalit Tvachim, so too, since you intended to throw it into the dog's mouth, you intended to throw it into that fire, given the Kom Chadein, Machshavto Meshavilein L'Makom, your thought can make something significant, even though on its own it wouldn't be considered significant. This concludes the beautiful Perek HaZorek, Hadron Lech HaZorek, Hadron Lech HaZorek, Hadron Lech HaZorek, and we start the 12th Perek HaBoneh. HaBoneh begins as follows. HaBoneh, a person goes and builds on Shabbos. That's one of the Abbalachos. So how much does he have to build in order to be Chayiv? Kama Yivneh V'yechayiv. What's the minimal shear? We've been talking throughout this Masechta about minimal shear to be over a Chatas on Shabbos. So how much do you have to build in order to be Chayiv? So Habona Koshu, if you build anything, that's considered significant. Likewise, V'amisates, if you go and chisel a stone, the Sates Rashi tells us is Marbeya Eso Evan, you square out the stone, you chisel it out, U'misakna, and you fix it. Hakol v'yamokum. Each place, they have different ideas. What does it mean to go and finish the stone? Some say it's to smooth it out. Some things make various charitzim in the stone. In any event, that's called misates. Likewise, v'hamakeh bepatish. If somebody does the final blow in building, that's considered an act of boneh, an act of makeh bepatish. And ubematzot. We'll see that there are those who are going to say that the Mishnah should be read v'hamakeh bepatish bematzot, that you're a matzot, you're banging on a hammer, is the final act, that it's one thing over here, as opposed to, we're reading it as two things right now. Hamakev Patish, number one, or Bematzot, taking a hammer and banging something, that is going to be the Isser of Ma'atzeh, that's the middle amount over here to be Chayev. Or, you do it Hakodeach. So some of the Gersa, the Hakodeach, over here says on the side, if you drill something, if you make a hole in something, Koshu, any amount. All of these situations, you're Chayev. You did them on Shabbos by accident, you chayv a chatos. Any amount, even a mashu, is going to be significant. Zakla, then the Mishnah tells us again, Zakla, we'll have to see what it's adding over here. Kolosu melacha, if a person does melacha, umelachtu miskayemis, and this is a permanent type of a melacha, if you're only doing a temporary type of a melacha, it's not going to last, so then you're not going to be chayv a chatos. And if you do this on Shabbos, you're going to be chayv. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we delete the words v'chein. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Af hamake bekornus al hasadun. If you go take a hammer and you bang it on the anvil, bishas melacha. If it's you're doing this while you're doing work, you're going to be chayav. B'neishu kimisake melacha, because you're completing the act over here. You're doing an act of melacha. The Gemara will explain. It doesn't make any sense right now. Why should you be banging on an anvil with a hammer? You don't have anything that you're banging on. You're just banging the hammer on the anvil. So the Gemara is going to explain. It's while you're doing the middle of the work. You want to make sure that your hammer is nice and smooth, so it doesn't destroy the metal that you're banging on. So therefore, every now and then you're going to bang on the anvil just to make sure that the hammer is smooth, and that's why this is considered a melacha. It's part of the act of working, and we said a mashu is considered significant. In any event, the Gemara starts off and says, kol shu l'may chazya. When we say that if you even build something, a mashu, it's considered significant. So what's it significant for? It has to be able to make something. So what are you making over here by doing a mashu? So we have several different answers. Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Yirmiyah says, a person who's poor, shekein ani chofer guma, a person who's poor digs a small hole. Why? Latznia bought prutosov. He puts his pennies in there. Right? A rich person needs a bank. A rich person needs a huge hole. A poor person makes a little hole to put his penny in there. The kavasi gabi mishkan, and therefore significant by the mishkan, would be that shekein tofer yirios, the people that were involved with the sewing, the embroidering on the curtains, so they would make chofrin guma, they would make a little hole, and they would place the needles inside of it. Latznia bought machateyan. And therefore, that is why a little building is considered significant, because there was in the mishkan a little building over here, the making of this little hole to put the utensils inside of it. That's teretz number one, or Riviera. Abaya doesn't like this. He says, Kivan de Mishtaki, he said, if you would go put these needles in the ground, they would rust. As Rashi says, Mishtaki means Malin Chaludo Hamachtin. So the rust would form on these. Put the needle into a moist ground, it's going to get rusty. Therefore, lo adi hachi, nobody would do this. So what are you talking about? That in the Mishkan, they would put their needles in the ground. That doesn't make any sense. So where do you have a small mashu binyan? Ella, shekein ani oseh pitpute kiro kitana. A poor person goes and he makes a little hole to put his stand on, his tripod on over here for his cooking. Lishpos oleh kiderek tana. He puts his little small pot on this little small tripod. The kavase, and an equivalent in the Mishkan, the kavase gabi Mishkan, was that they needed a little bit more dye. They ran out of dye, so they would take mevashlin samonin litzbo yirio shechosu malachtin. So they would take a little tripod over here, make a little hole, and this was the bone that they would do in the Mishkan in order to make a little extra dye. Osi pitputi kira katana. They would take this a little tripod, and they would go and place their pot on it, lishposela yor katana. So that's where you use a small mashu of binyan. But Rav Acha bar Yaakov doesn't like this. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omar, ain't any is welcome mashiras. They didn't use little small tripods and little small pots to go make dyes. They had a big dye. If you need a dye, you made a big dye. In a place like the Mishkan, where there's such wealth, so therefore you don't do things in a poor person's type of way. So then what does Rav Acha bar Yaakov explain? The small amount mashu for binyan? Ella, shekein balabayis, sheish lo nekev bibiroso v'sodmo, just like a person who owns a big palace, he has a big bira. And if there's a hole in it, he goes and seals it off. So, too, in the Mishkan, the Kavasi Gabi Mishkan, if there is a hole in the Mishkan, Shekin Kerish, if there's one of the crushes, one of the boards, Shenoflu Bo Darna, Rashi tells us that Darna is Tolas, we had this previously in the Masechta, and it's making a little hole in this board. So what would they do? Matif Letocha Ovar, they would go and melt into it lead, Ovar is lead, and Visodbo, and they would seal the hole. So therefore, that was a very small amount of binyan. That's what you have in the Mishkan, that we do a small amount of binyan. Gemara continues, says Amar Shmuel, Hametzadin is for Evan Chayev. If a person goes and places the stone into the ground and puts the dirt around it, so he places it, he sticks it into the ground in a certain way, that is also called binyan. Gemara says, Mesvi, wait a second, the Brisa seems to disagree with you. Because the Brisa said, Echad Nosin is Evan. If one person put the stone on the ground, the Echad Nosin is Atit, and another person puts on the cement to it, only the second person is chayev. I know it's in a satin chayev. The person who put it there is not chayev. But you, Shmuel, are telling me, Hametzadid, if you put it there in the ground, you are going to be chayev. Gemara says, but wait a second. Keep on reading that brisa that you brought down. Ultamech im seifa. Keep on reading the seifa of that brisa. Rav Yosi omer, v'afilu helo v'niach al gabi dimus shel avonu chayev. Even if you place the stone on top of other stones, you would be chayev. Now, didn't say anything about cement in that situation. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara explains that Braisa is perfectly consistent with Shmuel's position because that Braisa is actually having three different layers of stones that it's talking about. Elot losa binyone havu. When we're talking about stones and making a building, you have the stones on the bottom, you have the stones in the middle, and you have the stones on the top. Tata, mitzia, ve'ila. Bottom, middle, and top. Tata, on the bottom row, boy tzidu devi afra. That's what Shmuel said. You have to go and put it into the dirt. You have to wedge it in into the dirt so it stays in its place. You don't need cement there. You just put it in. The weight of the building will keep it in place, but you have to make sure that it's deep into the ground so it doesn't topple over. So the bottom one, you need to put in the dirt. That's what Shmuel said. Yechayev, hametzadi seven yechayev, without putting any cement on it. The mitziyah, the middle ones, boy namitina, if you just put it there, it's going to fall off. And therefore, you need to cement it in. But Eloi, the top row, just b'hanocha, b'alma, just placing the top on it, that is significant enough for building. And therefore, the b'risa is internally consistent, and it's consistent with what Shmuel said, because there are three different ways that you can be chayav for bona. One just wedging it into the dirt, one is with cement, and one is just placing it there. Then the Mishnah quoted and says, v'amesates. So the Mishnah said, if a person goes and they chisels out the stone, we said he either smoothes it out or he makes charitzim in it. So Gemara says, mesates mishum mai mechayev. What actually is the av melacha that mesates falls under? So Rav Amar mishum bona. Oh, that's the name of our parak. Rav says this is an act of bona. We're going to have several situations where Rav is going to say it's bona. And Shmuel Omar, and Shmuel says, no, mishum makim apatish. This is the final blow. When you do the final blow, makim apatish is a separate av melacha itself. That's case number one. Case number two, if you make a hole in the pigeon coop, now you need this to ventilate, otherwise I guess the pigeons would die with all the foul smell that's there. So you have to let it come out, and from all the excrement that's in there, it would be even the chickens couldn't breathe in there, so you have to make a hole, and this way you're bona. Rav Amar Mishum Bona. This making the hole is bona. It's finishing that building, so it's an act of bona. Ushmul Amar Mishum Makim Apatish. No, that's the final action over here, the final blow. Third case. Ayil shufta bekofino demora. If you have over here the handle of the hoe and the hoe itself, so you have to attach it together with some sort of a peg. So the person who puts in the shufta bekofino demora, who puts it into the hoe itself, so it's now you have the handle and the hoe together. So Rava Mamishum Bona, that's also an action of Bona. Ushmul Mamishum Makim Apatish. Shmuel says it's Makim Apatish. Now, what's going on over here? Why do we need three cases? They all seem to be the same. I got it the first time. Shmuel says, Utrich, you need all three cases. Because Diashminun Kamaisa, if you only told me the first case, you know what I would have said? Bahayi Kama Rav. In that situation, Rav says it's Bona. Mishum de Derech Binyam Kach. That's a normal way to go and build things by chiseling the stone. That's building. But you know what? The other two, Avalos and Nekibulu, Sultan and Golem, make a little hole in there. I would agree with you. That's not called building. And therefore, Ema Modelele Shmuel. He agrees with Shmuel that in the second case, the Lul Otar and Golem, that it's not bone, it's Makim Apatish. No, Yashmin Baha, and if you only told me that one, that's why you have to tell me that Rav disagrees, says that's bone. I would say, in that situation, Baha, call my Rav, Mishum, the Dormi Labinyan, the Avdi Lavira, that you make windows and you make ventilation in a house, so too you make ventilation in the Chukukub, that's bone. But in the case of Avol Shufta Bikofina Demara, but attaching the handle to the hoe itself with this peg, that's not Derech Binyan. They ain't Derech Binyan Bekach. So maybe there, Aema Modele Shmuel. In the third case, he's Modele Shmuel. No, just tell me the third case, and then I'll know that he argues in all the others. Yashmin Baha, if you only told me the third case, I would have said Baha Kamar Shmuel. Only in that situation would Shmuel say that it's Makim Patish. Avol Banach Tarte, in the first two cases, the case of the chiseling of the stone, the case of the Lush of Tanagolim, you know what? Taka, Shmuel agrees with Rab. Avol Banach Tarte, Ema Modele Rab. Therefore, Tzricha, you need all three cases to show us the strength of Rab and show us the strength of Shmuel in each case. We ask the final shiloh, boy minei Rav Notzim Baroshi Amir Rav Yochanan, misates mishum mai mechayev. What are you mechayev mishum misates? The same question as before. So he says, afile biyode mishum makim matish. So Rav Yochanan showed him with his hands. He showed him, Rashi says, he banged with his hand on his other fist. Makim be grofo akapo ke makim patish. He banged his hand on one hand onto his palm of the other hand to show that it's makim patish. Rav Nosson Boroshaya says, I don't like that. For Anantanan, HaMesates VeHamakim Apatish. Like I said, when we read the Mishnah, it seems to imply Mesates is a different action than Hamakim Apatish. So Rav Yochanan would read it. No, Ema HaMesates Hamakim Apatish. As I said, Rav Yochanan would say that it's one discussion. Mesates, which is Makim Apatish. We still try to disprove this. Toshma. We bring down another bryce and we turn to the Yomar Aleph. HaKodeya Kol Shuchayev. If a person makes a drill, he makes a hole, any amount you chayev. Now, Bishlam L'Rav, we understand why. Merci, come on. Dechor churto levinyona. This is a person who makes a hole in the wall. You're making constantly holes in the wall to put in nails, etc. So that's binyan. Rav makes very good sense. Elu Shmuel, Shmuel says that if you make a hole in the chicken coop, that is called makim apatish. So here, you're making a hole in the middle of the building. It's not makim apatish. Lav gemar melachu. It's not the final act. So why would Shmuel say you chayev for making a hole in a building? So Gemara says, Hochma Yaskin, you know what we're talking about? The Baze Beramtsa de Parzla. It's talking about a person who's making a hole to put in a nail. He wants to put in this Ramtsa de Parzla. And therefore, he's going to hang something on this nail. So when you're making the hole, that allows you to put in the nail, to hang something on it. No, that's Tainu Gemara Malacha. That's Makav Patish. That's what Shmuel says our Mishnah's talking about. Finally, the Mishnah says, Zak Klal, this is the rule. So if somebody does Malacha on Shabbos, you're going to be Chayiv. So again, always, Zak Klal, Lasuya Mai. We don't just say Zak Klal. We don't give rules. So what it's coming to add to us over here, Lasuya D'chak Kepiza B'kava. It's talking about a person who he chiseled out over here from a block, only a kapiza's worth. Rashi says, "Begolum Godl takes a big block over here. Haroy lochuk bokav. You could have chiseled out a hole the size of a kav, and instead chokach shalosh lugin. Only did three lugin. The kav has four lugin, so he only did over here three lugins worth. The afapisha also lohosef. Even though he's going to do more later on, this is still considered significant. So he did a kapiza's worth over here, and he didn't finish it off. So that's what it means. The Zaha Klal is coming to include this case as well." Then the Mishnah concluded, said, if you go bang the hammer on the anvil, you're going to be chayiv. My covet, what did he do? He didn't make any utensils. So Rabbi Riosa, Damri Tavayu, because he's teaching himself how to do this. He's learning how to do this. By banging, he's setting himself up to do it right the next time. Where it says, the Bnei Rachva, they said, this doesn't make any sense. If somebody sees somebody doing something on Shabbos and he learns how to do it, you learned how to do it. So all you're doing over here by banging on the hammer is you're learning how to do it next time. So are you chayiv for learning how to do something? If you watch somebody do something, you'll be chayiv? Obviously not. El Abayi v'Rava demer tavayu. Abayi and Rava, they said, this is what the person is doing over here. Shekem mirada de tase mishkan. The people who would make the metal platings, they would make sheets of gold in the mishkan. They would do this, Osen came, because gold is easily going to be breakable. It's very malleable, and therefore, if you bang on it and there's a little bit of sharpness on the hammer, it could rip the gold. And Tanya Nami Hochi, this answer that Abayin Rav gives is in fact a Brisa. Rav Shimon Goli Omer, Afamake B'Korna Salasad, then B'Shas Malacha Chayiv. As long as you're doing this, the Brisa says, while you're doing the working. So you do a couple of bangs on the gold, and then you take away the gold and you bang it, the hammer on the anvil. She came Radi Tasi Mishkan Osen Kane. They would do this to make sure that the hammer is smooth, so they would bang it on the anvil by itself, and they're pounding on the gold. They have to every now and then pound directly on the anvil to make sure that the hammer stayed smooth. Right? She says, where you see Osen Kane? In my days, the people did this as well. On this note, we conclude today's shir.